This morning's scripture, taken from Haggai, the Old Testament portion of your Bible. In the back of the Old Testament portion, it's on page 879. We're turning to Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 to 19. Page 879 of your pew Bible. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests for a ruling. If one carries consecrated meat in the fold of one's garment, and if the fold touches bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy?" The priests answered, "No." Then Haggai said, "If one who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean?" The priests answered, "Yes, it becomes unclean." Haggai then said, "So it is with this people and with this nation before me, says the Lord. And so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now consider what will come to pass from this day on. Before a stone was placed upon a stone in the Lord's temple, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and mildew and hail. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. Consider from this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is there any seed left in the barn? Do the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree still yield nothing? From this day on, I will bless you." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Almighty God, may your written word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. How many of you have just gotten off an airplane in the last few days? Oh, good. We're going to be able to communicate with each other because I'm in jet lag mode myself. I came in Thursday night, and I was flying from Tokyo, Japan, to Hong Kong. And I sat down, and no one was seated next to me. And so I immediately started praying that the seat would remain empty. They closed the doors of the plane. I said, "Thank you, Lord." When an elderly woman walked up and plopped herself right in my vacant seat. And she said, "I was in the back of the plane, but they told me there were extra seats up front." And I smiled and tried to be nice to her, but inside I was not thinking happy thoughts. And I managed to fall asleep, and I slept for most of the flight. And shortly before we were to arrive in Hong Kong, I woke up and she looked at me and said, "Are you a Christian?" And at first I thought, I must be so godly that I exude Christianity even in my snoring. I said, "Well, yes, I am." And she said, "Well, I had to ask because I pray every time I get on a plane that God will put me next to someone so I can share Jesus with them. He has blessed me so much, I want to share the good news." Boy, was I humbled. Has God blessed you that much? Do you feel that you have been blessed by God? Haggai the prophet has some hard words for the people rebuilding the temple, but he also has a wonderful word from the Lord, and that is that you will be blessed. And how do we live a life of blessedness? This summer, I read a wonderful book called Leadership is an Art by Max DePree. He was the CEO of the Herman Miller Furniture Company, a very committed Christian. This is his definition of leadership. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you. In between the two, the leader must become a servant and a debtor. That sums up the progress of an artful leader. And I think it also sums up an artful follower. To be able to live in reality, to realize that we are called to be servants and that we owe someone a whole bunch, and not to be able to forget to say thank you. Now, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai to help them define reality. And there are some diagnostic questions the Lord asked through his prophet. First question, verse 13. If a person defiled by... verse 12. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and the fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? In other words, if something is holy, when it comes into contact with something that is unholy, does the unholy become holy? Well, the priests talked amongst themselves. They went back to Leviticus and they said, no, it doesn't work that way. Now, that's a very important point for them. It's a very important point for us. Because some of us think that we can become holy by osmosis. If we're hanging around another holy or spiritual person, then we become spiritual. But it doesn't work that way. Billy Graham's famous line, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than staying in your garage will make you a car. There's a point to that. But I keep running into people who think that just somehow by hanging out with holy people, they will become holy. But the answer to the first question is no, it doesn't work that way. So then the prophet asks the second question. If a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? And the priests consult amongst themselves and say, yes. So in other words, if something is unholy and it comes into contact with holy or clean, that clean becomes unclean. Now again, we could go into a long discursus in Levitical law, but I think you understand what he's trying to say. And it's not just in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul says, bad company corrupts good morals. But I keep running into people who say, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but my Christian friends aren't that interesting, so I hang out with my non-Christian friends, and I'm going to help convert them. Well, does it work all that often? Brad, can I use you for an illustration? Congratulations on the way that your Yankees are doing. So I hope. If you'll stand right there, do you think you can pull me down from this stage? Do you think you're strong enough to pull me down? He's strong enough. Congregation, do you think that I'm strong enough to lift him up to this stage? No. Thank you, Brad. But I keep running into people who say, oh yes, I'm going to lift up those around into where I am by just hanging out with them and doing some of the things. No. It doesn't work that way. The reality that God is defining through his prophet here is that God is holy. We sang that beautiful song, Holy is God, and we are not holy. We are unclean. Holly and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary on August 11th. And one of the things I've learned in marriage is that when I go on a trip and she wants me to bring something back, I better bring it. So I had two giant Adirondack chairs that I was trying to lug back with my luggage. But several years ago, she wanted me to bring to England from the United States some laundry detergent and her favorite candy, Tootsie Rolls. Well, I had already packed my luggage, and this big box of laundry detergent wasn't going to fit into the box, so I took the detergent out of a box and put it in a large plastic bag and sealed it very carefully. And then the bag of Tootsie Rolls didn't really fit either, so I just opened it up and I just poured the Tootsie Rolls on the top of my luggage as well. And I thought everything is fine until the bag opened in flight. And there was laundry detergent throughout all my clothes, which is okay because they were dirty anyway. But then Holly had her first Tootsie Roll and she said, "This tastes like soap." And it did. Evil can infect everything. And the prophet asked these diagnostic questions to help them face reality, that they were unclean, that they were sinners. Now, it's not popular to talk about the depravity of total depravity of humanity or original sin. But G.K. Chesterton says original sin is the one theological doctrine that can be empirically verified. And we could get into a discussion, what does it mean to be stained by sin? Instead of total depravity, Dallas Willard uses the term sufficient depravity. But all of us fall short of the glory of God. God is holy, we are not. And nothing that we can do in our own power can really please God. And the people discovered it there in a very painful way. That's the reality that the prophet tried to help them see. When Frederick the Great visited his prison in Potsdam, he had interviews with every single inmate. And Schiller tells us that every inmate but one told the king that they had been framed, that they were innocent, that they were in prison unjustly. But then Frederick the Great came to one prisoner and he said, "I am guilty as charged. I deserve my sentence." And Frederick the Great said, "Warden, get this evil sinner out of here. He's corrupting all these noble, innocent people." Well, he had a point. None of us is innocent. None of us is holy. And God had called a faithful remnant down to rebuild the temple in 520 BC. And instead of getting to work rebuilding the temple, they started taking care of their own needs. They were selfish. They were not servants. And they didn't realize the obligation they owed God Almighty. And so the prophet asked the third question. "Since you've come back, how have your crops been growing?" And the answer was, "Hey, we're in a severe drought." I was in Wisconsin in the United States several weeks ago talking to a good friend of mine who's a farmer, and the corn is hardly high enough to harvest now. And his hay fields, he usually gets four cuttings of hay, and he's only had one. They're in severe drought. Well, that's what was happening to the farmers around Jerusalem. They said, "Yes, no matter what we try, our crops are not coming in. There's mildew, there's blight, there's hail." And the prophet said, "That's because you've been cursed, because rather than following God, you've been very selfish, taking care of your own needs, and you've forgotten that you were here for a purpose." December 18, 520 BC is when this prophecy was uttered. Because that's the day that they laid the foundation for the temple. Because they had been going and doing their own thing, and finally they listened to the word of God and said, "No, let's rebuild the temple." And as soon as they started working on the foundation, suddenly the crops started coming in. "As long as you turn from me," God said, "there will be drought. But when you turn to me, there will be an abundant harvest." Servant leadership, servant followership. Are we pursuing our own agenda, or are we serving God? Do we forget how much we owe God and what He did for us in Jesus Christ? Remember, the marks of followership or leadership are being servant leaders, servant followers, realizing we owe a great debt. And as Christians, we realize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ can make us whole. Those who were unclean through Christ become clean. And then the passage ends with this wonderful phrase, I will bless you. In the actual Hebrew, it's I will bless. And the word is Baruch. And I asked a rabbi friend, what does Baruch mean? What does it mean, blessing? In the New Testament, blessed are those, we translate it happy. He said, no. Baruch means being on God's path and participating in all the joy and prosperity and wholeness that God wants to give you. How many of you feel blessed? You know, as we dedicated and baptized these children, there was a lot of love here, wasn't there? Remember what happened when Jesus was baptized? What did he hear the voice from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Friends, we have been blessed. How wonderful it is to be blessed by a human parent, but how much more to be blessed by the loving Father. The Almighty Holy God says, you are my child. I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. You can come back on my path and be whole. God says, I will bless you. They did a study of 17 American teenagers, and the thing that these 17 American teenagers had done is kill fellow students in shootings at schools. And they did an extensive study of the families of these 17 children, and they found one constant variable. That was that every single one of these teenagers had had a really lousy relationship with their father. And I keep running into people who do not feel blessed by their parents. But friends, God says, I will bless you. I will bring you into amazing wholeness. And the response to that blessedness is for us to say, thank you. Max Dupree, great Christian, great business leader. Peter Drucker, another amazing Christian and a business writer, says that nonprofit organizations have real problems. Let me read a little bit from him. All nonprofits have one essential product, a changed human being. This is a different approach from business. In business, your goal is not to change the customer. It's not to educate the customer. It's to satisfy the customer. Whenever a business forgets that, it's in trouble. When GM tried to tell us what cars we ought to drive, we began to drive Toyotas. Interesting to see what's going to happen. But nonprofits aim for change. Hospitals seek to change sick patients into healthy ones, and schools aim to change students into educated individuals. The church has a difficult problem, but I would say the church's aim is to make a difference in the way the parishioner lives, to change the parishioner's values into God's values. How do we express our thanks to God? By having changed lives, by allowing His Spirit to come and transform us into a life of incredible blessedness. Well, there I am having my conversation on the plane with this wonderful Christian woman who'd been blessed. And I said, you know, I am a pastor and I just want to thank you because it's so inspiring to see the way that you are sharing your faith on airplanes. And you know what she said to me? Looks like all you do is sleep. And she was right. But how sad it would be if we sleep through all the blessings that God has for us. Don't you want to go to heaven and hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Friends, God, through His scriptures, has given us a very clear view of reality. All have sinned, all fall short. But He's provided a solution, and when we turn to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and our servant followers, and realize that we were bought with a price, we are not our own, and can be stewards of what He's given us, we can live a life of blessedness, not just for ourselves, but we can be blessed to be a blessing to others. What an exciting opportunity He has given us as we follow Him. Let's stand for our final song.